Hi, this is Joanna Lindenbaum, Master Coach and CEO of Soulful Coaching for Busy Women, and this is our topic training call for the Your Sacred Business program. And today's topic is an introduction to online marketing. Before we jump into the content, let's take some time to really just get connected in and to focus and to become more present. So I invite you, wherever you are, to set the intention to really bring yourself and your full attention to this call. How you do anything is how you do everything. How you do anything is how you do everything. So how you do our time together today, how you show up, how you bring yourself present and open and ready to receive is indicative of how you'll show up in other areas of your business and of your life. And with that, I invite you to close your eyes. Really feel the ground beneath you. And give yourself the gift of being conscious of your breath right now. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up. Take in life. Allow yourself to expand. And as you exhale, let go. Feel that sweet sensation of the release, of the letting go, and then making way for the new breath, the new inhale. Breathing in through the heart into the belly and taking in exactly what you need today. What is it that you are needing today? Is it balance or trust or perseverance or motivation or space, whatever it is, self-love? So allow yourself to breathe that in, to know that it's available to you and to really take it inside of yourself. And as you breathe in this way, I invite you to begin to become aware of and to connect into the places in your business where you have become maybe a little bit too comfortable. Where have you just become a little bit too comfortable? So, for example, have you just become a little too comfy with your rates? So much so that really it's time to raise them, but you're just kind of stuck in that comfort zone place instead of just that nice stretch place. Or have you become just really comfy maybe with sending out your tier one letters, but you haven't moved on to tier two or to begin to add on other marketing avenues? Has that just now become a place where you're a little bit stuck in your comfort zone? Or has maybe it's been your comfort zone to overwork, to have a crazy schedule, and it actually, for as crazy as it is and annoying as it is, it feels comfortable to stay there instead of to let your clients know that you're going to be changing your work hours? Or maybe you've gotten really comfortable preparing things, right? Like preparing marketing materials, writing templates, writing your homepage, but you've sort of just stopped there and you haven't actually moved into the outreach place, the place of actually letting other people directly know about these services that you're writing about. So just note for yourself, where have you gotten a little bit stuck in your comfort zone? Where have things just become cushy, not in that just beautiful, easeful, cushy way, but like cushy in a way where you know you're getting stuck? And with that self-awareness, take a moment now and ask your inner wisdom, just connect in and ask yourself what needs to happen next here. Just really ask yourself, with whatever that comfort place is, what needs to happen next. And then together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh, so breathing in. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open. And whatever that comfort zone place is, right, that place, again, it's not like that nice comfy, but really that comfy that is more about you're just kind of getting stuck in it. Whatever that thing is for you, I want you to write it down right now. And then write down the wisdom about next steps on it. Just jot down whatever inner wisdom came up there. And whatever that is for you, I invite you right now, and this is really just between you and yourself or yourself and spirit, you know, whatever it is, but I invite you right now to make a commitment to move out of that stifling comfort place as soon as possible and to really take action over the next 24 hours around whatever it is that came up for you here. Okay, great. So just one piece of housekeeping before we dive into the content for today's call. And that's that, you know, with our last class happening this Thursday, and I highly, highly recommend that you do whatever you can to be on that last class. It's our last training call is going to be very much about putting the pieces together. I'll talk a little bit more about that later today, but you're definitely going to want to be on that call. But with our last class happening on Thursday, I want to just talk a little bit about the recordings and the worksheets from your sacred business and the Ning group. So, all of the recordings are there for you, and all of the discussions and whatever content has been exchanged through the discussions are there for you on the Ning group. The Ning group will be up for about a week and a half after our last class. So it'll be up until July 1st. So you've got a week and a half if you want to download or upload, whatever it is, those recordings to your computer so that you have them for yourself, or just any of the material that's on Ning. Please just make a note to make sure you do that by July 1st, because then that the entire Ning group for the spring 2013 YSB will be taken down after that. Okay, so online marketing. And really, we're going to be looking at an introduction to online marketing today. So in order for us to look at online marketing, I want to just take a moment to for us to reflect on the fact that in this program already, we've looked at quite a number of specific marketing avenues. And the marketing avenues that we've been looking at together have been, there have been two express purposes to them. So the marketing that we've looked at together so far has been for the purpose of either bringing people to directly buy your services or your products or your offerings, or to bring people directly into an enrollment conversation with you if that's appropriate in the work that you do. And the marketing avenues that we've been looking at for these two express purposes, to bring someone to either sign up with you directly or into an enrollment conversation with you, are, you know, we've looked at sending out first and second tier letters and following up. We've looked at networking. We've looked at joint venture partnerships. We've looked at referral partners. We've looked at creating soul-centered presentations. So we've looked at creating workshops or teleclasses or open houses, and ones that either you host yourself or ones that, you know, you can pitch for other organizations to host you or to feature you. And even within those marketing strategies, we've even already begun to look at some online strategies, right? For example, joint venture partnerships, if you're partnering with somebody online, can absolutely be an online marketing strategy. But for the most part, the strategies that we've looked at together so far have been offline. And when I say offline, what I mean is not in this world of online marketing, in this world of social media and blogging and, you know, some of the other pieces that we're going to be looking at today. But really, up until now, we've been focusing offline. And we've been focusing offline up until now very, very purposefully. And the reason we've been focusing offline up until now is because these offline strategies that I've been sharing with you, the ones that I just mentioned, those are the ones that have the highest energetic resonance when it comes to magnetizing new clients or new customers into your offerings. So what I mean by that is you have a much higher likelihood of quickly bringing somebody in to an offering of yours by sending out a first or second tier letter individual, you know, as an example, or via networking, or having them experience you in a workshop. You've got a much higher chance of bringing someone into an offering with you through one of those ways, or into an enrollment conversation with you through one of those ways, than through online marketing. Online marketing being, it's now you're moving into people that you don't know at all, they haven't yet experienced you, and you're not being referred. They're not being referred to you. So there isn't a middleman or a middlewoman or a middle person who has said, check this person out, right? You know, who they know one-on-one, as an example, or who they know personally. And these online marketing strategies absolutely work. They can absolutely enhance your business. But the process of online marketing is a much slower process. What I mean by that is not always, because sometimes, you know, you might connect with someone on social media you've never met before and they'll just come straight into an enrollment conversation. They'll become a client, for example. That absolutely can happen, and it's definitely happened for myself and for a lot of the women that I coach. But chances are what's more likely going to happen with online marketing when you're behind your computer as opposed to face-to-face or, you know, on the phone or, you know, coming in through a trusted contact is that the period between when somebody first comes in contact with you and your offerings and then into, through when they'll actually step in with you is elongated, right? So they might first just sort of hear about you and visit your website, and then maybe they become part of your newsletter community if that's something that you've got. And then from there, maybe they're just reading your articles for a couple of months and just hearing about what you have to say. And then ultimately they say, you know what, I want to buy this product, or I want to have a conversation, you know, to see how this person can help me, right? So it is a very effective marketing tool, but you really want to make sure as you create your marketing strategy, and on Thursday we're going to be looking at how each of you can begin to create your individual marketing strategies, which marketing avenues are right for you and how they're all going to fit in together for you. But what's essential is whatever you're doing when you create your marketing strategy, you want to start with at least one or two or three offline marketing techniques first, and then begin to add the online. Because again, the offline has the highest resonance to bring people in the quickest. So considering all of that, and considering that with online marketing, you know, it's like it's a vast world out there, right? We're not dealing anymore with people that know us, right, or people that know people that know us. With online marketing, as you step more and more into it, it's really like there's a little bit, you're farther removed. And for some people, and as you're listening to this, you may know that this is true for yourself or not, but just check it out because it's important for us to just take a look at before we even look at some online strategies. But for some folks, when it comes to online marketing can bring up a lot of fear. It can bring up fear because you're making yourself visible, you're making yourself vulnerable. You're putting yourself out there into, like, the masses, right, into people you may not even know. And, which, you know, which is different than, for example, sending a first-tier letter where it's one-on-one and you're waiting for a response. And whether or not somebody says yes or no or not, you're likely going to hear a response from them either way. You're going to follow up with them, right? Or it's different than giving a workshop where you can see the expression on people's faces if you're in the room with them, right? So it can often bring up fear when you can't see expressions on people's faces and you're sending information out to the masses, to people that maybe know you but mostly don't know you, and you don't know how that information or that offering is going to be received. And because of this fear, what I've found is that there are some people who tend to just stay away at all costs from online marketing, or who like kind of do it but don't really do it. They don't really show up for it. So if this is you, if as I'm just talking about this fear that can come up around online marketing, and you know that you've got a fear in there, or you've been avoiding it, or you know whatever it is, just take note for yourself. Just jot down right now, what is it about online marketing that is either scaring you, is bringing up fear, or has been bringing up resistance for you? Why are you resistant? You know, and for some people it might just be like, it's so confusing, I can't even begin to wrap my brain around it. But then there might also be some other fears there around visibility or vulnerability or exposure, whatever it is. So just note for yourself, you know, as we've been really learning in this program in your sacred business, it's so important just to start off with being in awareness of what the resistance is or what the fears are. Then from there, I want to offer you a mindset piece or a soul set piece around how to move through online marketing, and really starting with this energetic or soul-centered piece, I think is really important. There's two pieces that I want to offer you here. And this is how I really think about online marketing, about reaching, the masses out there and the nameless faces who will hopefully at some point become, names, right? And I will make a deeper connection with. So the first piece that I want to offer you around this is to approach online marketing from the perspective and the soul set of abundance. And what I mean by that is now with, online marketing and the internet and all of the different social networks and all of that, when I think about all of this, the word that just comes through so clearly to me is abundance. It is an abundant world, a world that is filled with an abundance of prospects and future clients to serve, and new community members, right? And the internet is like this incredible, kind of thing that brings that abundance to your home, so that all of a sudden you have access to droves and droves and droves of people. I think that's just profound, actually. I actually, for as much as I tend to shun technology, when I think about online marketing in this way, it truly feels to me like the work of, the universe or the divine, just this message of abundance that's coming through. There's so many people that you can access online. And then along with that, the other piece I want to offer you as we look at the material today and as you begin to approach or go deeper into your online marketing is for you to be holding the following question. How can I make this as personal and authentic as possible? How can I make this as personal and authentic as possible? Because what oftentimes happens, and I'm sure you've all seen it for yourself with online marketing, is that it's so easy for it to become impersonalized. And especially online marketing, even more so than the offline avenues that we've looked at so far, online, if you don't put some thought into it and if you don't hold with just the highest intention of being personal and authentic, it can become kind of impersonal and just kind of blah, right? Just like writing to the masses kind of thing. And as we've learned so many times in this program, the most effective marketing happens, the most results-oriented marketing happens when you're creating a deep, an authentic relationship with your prospect. And you can create that deep and authentic relationship in an enrollment conversation, in a first-tier letter, in a workshop, but also online, also as you approach this abundance of people out there. So I want you to really keep that in mind for yourself. So with that, let's take a look at some online marketing strategies that you may want to begin to think about or add into the mix. And again, we're going to look at this more closely on Thursday, how to sort of put it all together. But for now, I just want to remind you again, we've looked at this, before, the strategies that I'm going to be introducing to you today, this is not about, integrating all of these strategies in the next week into your overarching marketing strategy. That would be just, you know, overwhelming and a recipe for disaster. This is about beginning to connect in with maybe one, maybe two online strategies that you feel you're ready to begin to step into and to step into persistently and consistently to really work at. So let's take a look at the first online strategy that I want us to learn about today. And the first two strategies that we're going to be looking at have to do with your already existing online community. So in our training call on expanding your community, we looked at a whole bunch of marketing strategies that can help you expand both your offline and your online community. And when I say your online community, what I mean by that is what sometimes people might refer to as your newsletter list, right, or your email list. So it's that group of people, and for you right now, it might be 30, or it might be 300, or it might be 3,000 or more, whatever it is. It's all good. But it's those people who you have their email addresses. Either you're, you know, just you've got their email addresses because you've connected with them in some way, or maybe you're more advanced and you have an actual, you know, newsletter service like Constant Contact or MailChimp or AWeber or whatever it is. But your online community are basically that group of folks that are already in your existing community. They already want to hear from you, are connected with you in some way, and you can use this beautiful, this kind of just the online, you can use the internet, you can use email to communicate with them. So this can be really, really, really powerful, and we've looked at this from communicating with people individually, but what I want to take a look at now is how to communicate with people as a group. So first and second tier are individual emails or phone calls to people. But what I want to take a look at closely now is third tier. How do you communicate with your third tier? Your third tier is that group, that larger community that you have, your newsletter community, right? And one of the most effective ways to communicate with your online, already existing community or your newsletter community, whatever you want to call it, is through a prospect campaign. So what's a prospect campaign? A prospect campaign is a series of three emails that go out over the course of anywhere from 7 to 10 days, where each of those three emails are expressly and directly about a particular offering that you have right now with a particular CTA. So it's three emails in a row in a somewhat short period of time, over about 7 to 10 days, that don't have newsletter articles, that, you know, it's not your newsletter. We'll look at newsletters a little bit later on this call, but what these three emails are about are directly inviting people into a singular and focused offering that you have or call to action that you have. So, for example, one of the most, I think, best ways to use a prospect campaign is, let's say that you have spaces to fill, either in your private practice or in a group class that you offer or a program that you offer. So And let's say this is, first we can just take a look at the example of, it's maybe it's a higher price thing, right? It's something where someone might need to have a conversation with you first before they choose to become your client or to step into that program. So for your prospect campaign, you would create three solo emails. And again, solo email is not a newsletter, but it's an email that's 100% devoted to the topic at hand, which is bringing people into your offering. You would create three solo emails, each that take a different angle into your CTA and into your offering. So let's say you wanted to invite people into a one-on-one conversation with you, into an enrollment conversation. Perhaps the first email that you send out, the subject heading is simply, would you like to have a call with me? Or can we talk? Right? And then in the body of that email, you want to use the soul-centered marketing formula. Again, this isn't to individuals, so this is going to be to a group, right? But in that email, you want to activate the soul-centered marketing formula, and you want to activate gap and vision, and then show how whatever your offering is, let's say you want to have an enrollment conversation so that people can work with you privately, you want to talk about how private work is the bridge, right? Can help gap that bridge between people's gap and vision. And then what you want to do is you want to invite folks, just like in your first tier, you want to invite folks into that enrollment conversation with you. The difference between doing this for first tier and for a prospect campaign is that for the prospect campaign, again, you're going to be sending through, you're not following up with individuals like you would with your first tier. Instead, your follow-up becomes this three-email formula. So maybe the first email goes out on day one, and then the second email goes out on day four or day five, and then the last email goes out day eight or nine, something like that, right? And by the time you get to that last email, it's pretty much a shorter email just saying, hey, this is just a quick reminder, you know, you have until tomorrow to get in touch with me about blah, 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 or I've got only two spaces left. Now, use the law of adaptation for yourself around this idea of a prospect campaign, right? So we looked at the example of doing this for an enrollment conversation, but you could do a prospect campaign if you've got a class going on and you want people to just sign right up for that class, right? Again, you want to create a campaign where you've got three emails. Each of the texts are going to be different each time. So it's not going to be the same text for each email. You're going to take a different angle in each time to your offering and then make a strong CTA into your class at the end of it. Or perhaps you're preparing, based on our last training call, you're preparing some kind of preview presentation, like a preview workshop or a preview teleclass. Well, after you've invited your first and second tier folks into that, then you want to go to your third tier, your larger online community, and create a prospect campaign inviting them into that teleclass or whatever it is. I'll share with you that I've used this format of a prospect campaign many, many times in my business, and I've worked with my masterminders and my private clients on this as well, and it is guaranteed to bring people in to your offerings or to whatever it is that you're making a CTA for. It's a very, very highly effective way of doing that. Again, remember, you don't want to get to this third tier, to this prospect campaign. If this works for your business format, first you want to move through the first and second tier individual offerings and then into that third tier with your prospect campaign. Okay, great. So The other thing I'll just say for now about Prospect Campaign, I'm sure there's going to be questions on it at the end of the call, but the other piece that I just want to point out about a Prospect Campaign is you don't want to do too many of them, like one after the other, after the other, after the other. So, for example, let's say you're doing a campaign to invite people into an enrollment conversation with you. You really don't want to do that more than once a quarter, right? Like once every 3 months at most. Because if you do it more than that, it's not going to feel special anymore. Or let's say you're doing a campaign for a preview teleclass. You kind of don't want to really do that more than once a month, right? Send this sequence of very tightly focused emails over the course of 7 to 10 days. If it's for a teleclass, you really don't want to do that more than once a month. Because if you do too much of it, then it's not going to seem as special. It's not going to feel as focused. Now, here's what's really important, and this is going to help us segue into the next online marketing strategy that I want us to look at. And this is, by the way, should be the case for any marketing strategy that you use, two pieces. So number one, in these emails, even if they're to a group of people, number one, are you being personal and authentic, right? So we go back to that question. You want to ask that. But then here's the other piece. Are you providing content? Now, this is really important. I want you to pay special attention to this because this is a place where people make a big mistake. I've seen happen a lot with their online community. You don't want to only use your online community to make calls to action. That is going to tire people out and have them lose interest and not want to be part of your online community pretty quickly. So you don't want to only send prospect campaigns. That's just, people are going to get tired of just hearing that. Instead, you want to do two things. Number one, you want to vary your prospect campaigns with bigger pieces of content like your newsletter and newsletter articles or tidbits of information from the newsletter. We'll get to all of that in a moment. In the prospect campaigns themselves, in those solo emails where the singular focus is to invite somebody into an offering, even though you're not formally writing a newsletter article with content in it for those particular emails, you want 100% for those emails to not only be about a call into your offering, but you want there to be content in those emails. You want to be giving people really good information that they can take for themselves in one way or another. And that good content, that good information actually comes through in Gap or Vision or Bridge. So let me give you guys an example. I did a campaign about a year ago for a program that I was doing at the time. It was called Warrior Woman Entrepreneur. And that program was all about helping entrepreneurs create boundaries for themselves. So boundaries around time, boundaries around rates, boundaries around like just contracts and team members, that sort of thing. It's something that I just feel very passionately about. As I was marketing for the Warrior Woman Entrepreneur Program, I did a prospect campaign for it. One of my solo emails in my campaign, I didn't write an article, but part of the content that I put in there to activate Gap and Vision and Bridge was I told a story about a client who had walked all over me, who I had allowed to just really walk all over my boundaries, a client, or it was a prospect actually, that disrespected me, that was really rude, and I told the story of what happened to me in that as well and what I learned from that. And then through the telling of that story, I tied that into the importance of the program that I was offering, and that I was going to be sharing the lessons that I had learned through that experience as well as others to really teach entrepreneurs about boundaries, right? So I for sure in that email activated Gap, activated Vision, showed how my program was the bridge, and I made a strong call to action into it. But there was content delivered through all of that, even though it wasn't an article, it wasn't like these three tips about such and such, right? And I'll share with you that that email, we got so much response just from that email. Not only did a ton of people sign up for the program from that email, but we got so many email responses to that email just thanking us for even putting that email out there, because just that story alone, even though it was part of my marketing, it was part of my prospect campaign, it helped people become aware of what had been going on with their own boundaries and their own business and where things were going wrong and where things were going awry. So I share with you this piece about content because it can sometimes get overlooked, particularly in online marketing. And I really see this content piece as, number one, fitting so beautifully in with your marketing formula, but number two, just serving in so many ways and allowing you to really be the leader of your online community by teaching even through your marketing. And how cool is that, right? Because honestly, like at the end of the day, that's one of the reasons why we're all in business. It's not just for the money, of course it is, and it's not just for the satisfaction, of course it is that as well, but it's to be of service. And with an online community, you get to be of service not just to your paying clients, but also to those folks who are on your list, who are in your community. You get to be of service by giving them content in different ways. And I don't know about you, but to me, that's really, really exciting. So that's a beautiful segue into the next online strategy that I want us to take a look at today, which is newsletter. Now, with all of these marketing strategies, we could do much bigger advanced trainings. In fact, I did just do a longer training on newsletters with my masterminders, but I do just want to give you some pointers today and to just help you get your toes more into it, or for those of you that are already doing newsletters, just to go deeper with it. So, again, newsletter goes hand-in-hand with prospect campaigns for your already existing online community. And the way I really like to think about newsletters is that, again, this is your opportunity to tend to your community and to your online community and to really take a leadership role by giving content. So newsletter is your biggest way of staying connected with the people in your community and continuing to show up for them by giving them really good content. Now, your newsletter, I hear from a lot of people like, oh, I don't want to do a newsletter because it's going to take too much time. So what I want to say is a newsletter may not be right for everyone. You don't need a newsletter to have a successful business at all. But if you've been toying around with the idea of a newsletter, but, you know, you haven't really been doing it, or you've been kind of doing it, you know, like comme ci, comme ça, not so much, here's what I want you to know. Number one, you want to be persistent and consistent with your newsletter. In other words, you want to do it persistently and consistently, but how persistently and consistently you do it is up to you. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by doing a newsletter because you feel like you have to crank something out once a week, well, you don't have to. For you, persistent and consistent might be every other week. Or for you, persistent and consistent might mean once a month. I wouldn't recommend anything longer than once a month, because then it's really hard to hold the P&C, the persistent and consistent, when it comes to your newsletters. But doing it once a month might be very manageable for you. So, for example, when I first started my newsletter, I was doing it just once a month. And honestly, I wasn't even doing it that persistently and consistently. The first year, it was like kind of every 4 to 6 weeks. And that was okay. Like, I just needed that flexibility as I was getting up and running. And then at some point, I moved to every other week. And it actually wasn't until this last September that I finally, you know, said, okay, let's try and do this once a week and see if we can make this happen. And that's been, for me personally, just a big celebration to get there. No matter how often you write your newsletter, produce your newsletter, publish it, what's important is that not only is it persistent and consistent, but what's going to help you be persistent and consistent is to have a system around it. So we've spoken a little bit about systems in this program. We don't get too deeply into systems in Your Sacred Business, but I want to just talk about it for a moment right now, because I think it'll be really helpful for those of you that are really considering any marketing avenue. If you do things without a system, just kind of like haphazardly, like, yeah, I think I'm going to do a newsletter, maybe it'll be once a month, chances are your newsletter either isn't going to get done every month, or if it does, it's going to drain a lot of your energy. But once you add that system to it, it can really change. So what it would look like in terms of a newsletter is, let's say you're doing your newsletter once a month. So the first Thursday at 12 p.m. of each month, you know your newsletter is going out. So what you can just do is on your marketing calendar, and we're going to talk about marketing calendars on Thursday, but on your marketing calendar, you can just, for the next 6 months, mark in first Thursday each month, 12 p.m. newsletter. And once you have that, then you can create a production system for your newsletter. So maybe for you, you are going to write the draft the Friday before, right? So like the last Friday of each month, you're writing the first draft of your newsletter. And remember your blueprinting tools, right? You can blueprint this out for yourself. So you're going to spend, let's say, 90 minutes to write that first draft on a Friday. Mark that into your calendar. And then you know you need a little space from that first draft. So maybe on Monday or Tuesday, you look at it again, revise it, create that second draft. And then maybe you know that first Wednesday of each month, that's when you're going to do the technical piece and, you know, either make it look pretty in the email, color, bold, whatever it is, or get it into the constant contact if you're using a service, right, and get it ready to go out Thursday. If you can create a system like that for this or any of your marketing strategies, then you begin to make it like clockwork. It begins to move more easily for you. So what do you want to include in a newsletter? Well, here's the cool thing about newsletters is that truly sky's the limit on what a newsletter can be. So your newsletter can, you know, have three sections, and it could have 800-word article, and it can have a personal note from you, and it can maybe you feature a different book each month, you know, whatever it is. Or your newsletter can be the tip of the week, right? And it's two sentences that's just your pearl of wisdom for the week. Or maybe it's the meditation of the week, and it's a recording. Or, you know, if you are a yoga instructor, it could be yoga pose of the month, right? Or it could be a journaling exercise each month, or it could be a beautiful picture that you took with a couple of words of wisdom underneath it, right? If you're not a writer, or if writing, just the thought about writing an article drains you, if it's not energizing for you, then that doesn't mean that you can't have a newsletter, not at all. You just adjust the format to something that's going to work for you. I know that in a sentence or two sentences, you can put a lot of wisdom out there for your community. Another really good practice for newsletters is, and again, we come back to this a lot, is to make it personal, right? So can you include a little piece of personal information in your newsletter? People love to hear, you know, maybe about your summer vacation plans, or that it was your birthday, or how a particular class that you gave last week went, or, you know, maybe a photo of that class or whatever it is. But giving some personal information, again, not, you know, total crazy revealing personal information, but again, either a milestone in your personal life, or something in your personal life that relates to your business, or just something that happened in your business last week that you want your community to know about, a celebration or a new thing, what it does is it takes away that kind of distance that sometimes online marketing can create. And it just helps your readers feel closer to you and feel more connected to you. So I highly recommend that, you know, if it's calling to you, that you play around and you experiment with this marketing avenue of the newsletter. Like I said, it's just such a beautiful way to build an online community and to keep an online community interested in you, ready and willing and able to not only hear your content, but then hear your calls to action. And then ultimately, you know, some of them will become your clients or your customers. One last piece before we move on to look at the next piece, but a mistake that I often see happen in newsletters is that there isn't a call to action. So you want to really make sure that you're putting a CTA out. You know, if you just wrote this great article, whatever it's about, at the end of the article, you want to relate the content to how, you know, what someone might receive if they bought your product or became your client or took your class or your workshop, whatever it is. And after you make that connection between the article and your class, you want to invite people in to whatever that offering is. So don't forget about the CTA in the newsletter. All right, so the next strategy, or two strategies that I want to look at for today, are social media and blogs. And I see social media and blogs as very different than prospect campaigns and newsletters for a couple of reasons. They fall under online, but they're different. And the first difference is prospect campaigns and newsletters are people that are already in your existing community. People that you connect with over social media or via blogs are people that are not yet in your existing community. But by engaging in those strategies of the social media, the blogs, it is a way of bringing folks into your community. So then you have more people to send out newsletters to and prospect campaigns to. So that's the first difference between social media blogs and then newsletters and prospect campaigns. And when I think about it, I sort of see it as a visual. It's like, the way I see it is like you're a circle, almost like a bullseye in a way, not quite, but you're the circle in the middle, right? You're the bullseye. And then the next circle right outside of you are your first and second tier. Like they're the people that you know personally, individually. And then the next circle right out of that is your third tier. That's your community that gets your prospect campaigns and your newsletter. Well, you want to, as we looked at in the expanding your community training call, you always want to be bringing more people into that third tier. So that's where like social media, blogs, some of the other tropes that we looked at come in, right? So, and then once you bring those new people into your third tier, then you're much more poised to bring people into that first tier and into becoming your clients or your customers. The other way that that is really sets social media apart from everything else is the way that you're communicating. So whereas in a first tier letter or in a newsletter or in a workshop or, you know, when you're networking, whatever it is, you have more time and space to capture people's attention and to cultivate a relationship with them. Social media is super quick, right? It's like boom, 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 boom. You know, even with some of the social media like Twitter, you only get a certain amount of characters that you can even put your content into or put your offering into. And so you want to treat this avenue differently, because it is just such a different way of communicating. And again, remember, at the end of the day, no matter what marketing strategy you're using, you want to use it to create relationships. So the trick to social media, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, and even when you're responding on other people's blogs, is to use the short communication as a way of still cultivating relationship, an authentic relationship. Now, because it's such quick communication, when we look at, well, what does persistent and consistent mean for social media, it's very different than for a newsletter or a teleclass. Persistent and consistent for social media, for the most part, needs to be daily, not including your days off. But again, because it's so quick, 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 and short, 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 and it takes a longer time to cultivate the relationship over social media, you need to be doing it more persistently and consistently than some of the other marketing strategies for it to really work, for it to really be effective. So if social media is something that you want to use, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, blogs, that sort of thing, you only want to use it if you have the space to post at least once a day, if not more. Social media is a place where all of the other kind of dynamics and tools that we have looked at really apply. So you want to be giving content through your social media. You want in one way or another, whether you're posting about something personal or, you know, or it could just be you're posting a tip or a tool, but to build community over social media, you want to be giving content. You want to show that you're an expert in your field and that you have really good information to give to people, that it's worth their while to be following you, right, in this marketing avenue, in this dynamic. The other thing that you really want to think about is what is the, I like to think of it as like, what are the breakdown of your posts? And what research has shown is that you want your posts to break down in the following ways. This is especially true for Twitter and Facebook. You want 30% of your posts to be content-based, or 33% to be content-based, to be giving information, content, you know, that kind of value. You want the next third of your posts to be more direct calls to action, right? Sign up for this workshop, or I have space for an enrollment conversation, or visit my blog, or visit my website, or read this article that I wrote, right? So about a third are going to be calls to action. And then the last third of your posts are going to be more personal. And again, this can be as much personal or as little personal as you like. You know, for you, it might be about posting about your child's birthday, or it could be about a great new recipe that you had, or you have something that happened on the way to work that day. But you want that personal element in there, again, because that's so much about creating relationships with others. So everything that you do in your business, you want to leverage it as much as possible. So when it comes to online marketing, you want to think about, how can I use one thing that I've written or created for many purposes? So let me give you an example here. And this, again, would become part of a system for you, however you want to adapt it for yourself. Let's say you write a newsletter article once a month. Well, you don't want to, if you're thinking leverage, right, because leverage is always about saving you time and energy. If you're thinking leverage, you don't want to just use that article for your newsletter and then just be done with it. But what you can also do is once you've published that newsletter, then you can post that article on your blog, right? All of a sudden now you have a new blog post. You don't have to write anything new. You've got your newsletter article. But it doesn't have to end there. You can then take that very same article that you've published and now put on your blog, and you can submit that article to article banks online. This is another form of online marketing. Things like Article Marketer, ezinearticles.com, there are a bunch of them. But you can submit your article to an online article bank where it will get posted on that website. And then you have a little bio at the end, and it can draw more people back to your website, right? So now you're leveraging that newsletter article that way. But you don't even have to end there. You can then take that newsletter article and post about it on Facebook or on Twitter or on LinkedIn. Hey, I just wrote this great article about blah, 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 blah. Here's the link to it on my blog. Right? And so now you've leveraged that same exact article for social media, but then it doesn't even need to end there. You can then take that article and pull out the pearls of wisdom from it, maybe a sentence or two here or there that are really poignant, and you can actually post those poignant quotes from yourself on your social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, or on LinkedIn, whatever you're using. And then you could even leverage further. I'm sure those articles could then become teleclasses or, you know, whatever it is. But I point this out again to say, I don't want you to choose every marketing strategy in the world, right, because it's going to overwhelm you. I really encourage you to start with three if you're really just starting out in your business. But you can leverage so that you're not reinventing the wheel for each of those strategies. And that is our call for today. It has been an absolute joy to be here with you today and to share this material with you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you do your homework. I hope that you stay on track. And I can't wait until we connect again. Have a wonderful day.